Isaiah chapter 47. It's not very long. Quite a bit there, of course. How many times I hear or read in books that when you read through Isaiah, there are certain parts you can read through hurriedly. That's not really true. Of course, you can see in some of the earlier chapters how the thought does carry over for four or five or six chapters at a time. But because of that, sometimes people get the wrong impression and they don't want to read through it. Read through it when you get some time is what we'll do together tonight. But you could read through it again if you like. In 47, verse 1, this is what God says. Come down and sit in the dirt, in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. So what we're going to look at in this Bible study, interesting, is the decline and the fall of Babylon. It was a real place there in the plains of Shinar, over by the great river, Euphrates. I know that you know that. In the place today, the country today that you and I would call Iraq. And Babylon dates all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. Remember Nimrod, a great hunter before the Lord. Wanted to be worshipped, wore a headdress. As when he hunted, wore a headdress with one big horn in the center of his forehead. Wanted to be worshipped as a god. You'll see the New Age gods or the mythical unicorn with the large horn in the center of its forehead, a horse with a horn. Nimrod. Babylon is called, and rightly so, the mother of all idolatry. The mother of all idolatry. And as we've learned through Scripture, you're going to see in chapter 47, but drunkenness and idolatry bring down a nation. Drunkenness and idolatry, that's what brings down a nation. And should your nation ever give way to drunkenness and to worshiping of all sorts of different gods, idolatry, that nation will be destroyed, will collapse, and will be no more. And people say, what will happen to America? Well, the debate rages. Isn't that true? It depends on whether you listen to the voice of Elijah the prophet on the radio, or whether you listen to it depends on who you listen to. But don't you find it at least a little bit interesting that as you read through the book of Revelation, as you read through the Bible, that you do not find the United States of America named like that? Although there are theories, and the theories abound. Well, you know, drunkenness and idolatry bring down a nation. You're going to see the fall of Babylon. Now, what is so cool about it is in chapter 47 of the book of Isaiah, Babylon is a city, of course, but it will not come to power for another 100 years. And it'll be about 200 years before what is prophesied right here. It'll be about 200 years before that actually happens, before Cyrus comes in and the Medes and the Persians destroy this great place and this great city. So 200 years before it happens, God says, here's what will happen to you. 100 years before it's even a power. See, God tells you the beginning from the end. It is only God who knows what has been and who knows what will be. When you watch the videos or read the books from the Ministry Answers in Genesis, which are really well done. I like them. He teaches the school children to ask this question of the teachers. When the teacher says, evolution is real, and the earth, dinosaurs existed millions or billions of years ago. He teaches the children to ask, were you there? Because if you say no, then what are you basing anything on? See, because we have the word of one who was there. And it's a fact. And since none of us were there, it'd be wise to take the word of one who was there instead of all these theories. Well, look at this. God says to Babylon, now remember, Babylon, a little place now, but about 100 years from now will be a world power, going to conquer the world. He says, come down and sit in the dust. Now the same word is used in our language as a command to pets. For instance, those of you that have a dog, the word literally means it's used as an obedience term. You would use one word. You would say, down. Now, whatever that means to your pet, that's what it means. If your dog runs and gets a duck. Oh, that was far. I reached, but I just wanted to see. Down, duck. Yeah. You get it yet? Okay. I'm waiting, that's all. That's a duck's favorite song is Don't Bring Me Down. Anyway, it would be a command that you would use for your animal. Down. And that's the command. Jesus used a word, now not the Hebrew word, but in the Greek, when we read the Greek New Testament, the same word is used, only in the Greek. And this is what Jesus, the word he used, when he calmed the wind and the waves. Remember, he was in the boat? And they woke him up and said, Master, we're perishing, we're going to die. And Jesus rebuked them first. Oh, don't worry, oh, ye of little faith. And he stood up and he said what? Be still. Now, translated literally, that means be muzzled. Stop. Down. Stay. Stay. That's what God is saying to Babylon. He is saying, down. You get down into the dirt. The mother of all idolatry. You go to the book of Revelation. You see Mystery Babylon. And of course, go and read through. Since the time of the Tower of Babel, Nimrod and that Tower of Babel, false cults and religions have come from that place. That's the heart or the center of all false religion, Babylon. And he says, oh, virgin daughter Babylon, meaning no one has ever broken down your walls. You have never been attacked and soundly thrashed. He says, oh, virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. You will be destroyed. There is a destruction, he says, coming up for this nation, for this kingdom. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet you as a man. When I move, God says, I will move as God, and you will be destroyed. He describes here in verses 2 and 3, the utter humiliation of the nation of Babylon, of the kingdom of Babylon. Babylon had severely mistreated Israel. Those were God's chosen people. And the time was coming when they would receive their due. Now remember, Isaiah is telling the people, God is telling the people, you will go into captivity. Oh, it won't be for another about 100 years. But it's going to happen. Now, you would think that if you were given a 100-year notice, that you would start teaching your children something different. You'll be dead, many of you, in 100 years from now. Many of us. Wouldn't you think? Boy, I hope so. My goodness, that's a lot of tax. But still, you would start to train the little ones, wouldn't you? Teach them in the way that they should go, because in about 100 years' time or so, destruction is coming upon you. Punishment, chastisement, because you have rebelled against the Lord your God. Turn back, O man, forswear thy foolish ways. Remember? The time is coming when they would receive their due, Babylon. But what impresses me is 100 years before it even is a power, God is saying, I will repay you for the way you will treat my children. And God wrote it in a book so that 100 years before it happened, his children could read it and think about that. We're going to really be mistreated badly, but they'll get theirs in the long run. But most people say, well, that's not till tomorrow. How do you yourself live? Do you live like, you know, the Lord's not coming back for years, for Pete's sake. I've got things to do. Or do you live, every time there are clouds, you look up, because the Bible says we'll see him in the clouds. Don't quit your job and go sit at the top of your tree in your yard, wear a white sheet and wait. I never understood why you had to bring your own white robe. Because God says he'll give us that way. He'll clothe us in his righteousness. And why do people do that? They go sit on the mountaintops and the trees and they bring their own robes. These white sheets that they cut little arms in. You think, why do you do that? He's going to give you one. And of course, people try to set dates. You know that they do. And setting dates doesn't work because no man knows the day or the hour. And I remember back in 1988, a man wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 88. Remember that? Do you guys remember that book? And Jesus didn't return, so the next year he wrote 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Return in 89. Now you think nobody would buy that one. They did. It sold. When that book came out, interestingly enough, here's something that's trivia that nobody really cares about, but I thought you might appreciate it. When he wrote 89 Reasons Why Jesus Would Return in 89, he also was booking a tour for Israel in the year 2000. I mean, in the year 90. So he himself didn't expect Jesus to come back, not in 89, because he was already taking money and booking for March of the year 1990 to go to Israel. Now there's a little trivia for you. Isn't that cool? These guys, they know. Make a quick buck, a few bob off this, you know, as the British would say, and get on. Can you imagine God giving you a 100-year warning? A 100-year warning. Can you stop and think that the truth is God has given you a couple of thousand-year warning? You say, well, I haven't been alive that long. But since you've been alive, you've had the warning. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That means, look, I'm coming soon. Be ready. But he says this so that you'll know he's God. He says, Babylon, you will be utterly destroyed. You will be utterly humiliated. Babylon was taken without a shot fired. And you know the story, and you can read that in Daniel chapter 5. The Medes and the Persians walked in, moved the river out of the way and walked in, unheard of. Babylon didn't expect it either, of course. And verse 4 tells us this. It says, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. That's who our Redeemer is. He's our Redeemer as well. The word Redeemer, kinsman, Goel. A kinsman redeemer. A remember back to the book of Ruth. Ruth. Naomi. Boaz. He was their kinsman. He was related to them. He could purchase them. Redeem them. And he does. And he's a type of Jesus Christ who became a man, human being, came to this earth and became, once he became a man, he was fully God and fully man. He became our kinsman Goel, our redeemer. Now there are some of you who refuse to believe that he has forgiven and forgotten. But he has. You say, well, I know he's forgiven, but I can't imagine that he has forgotten, so I can't forget. So I carry this load. And we're told, you cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. You carry nothing. Jesus said to his disciples one time, take nothing with you on this trip. Don't even take an extra pair of shoes. You don't have to carry anything. I'll carry it for you. I'll be there. I'll make sure you have. I will take care of you. And so you have to come to the knowledge, not only am I born again, but I am completely free. Are you free? It says, verse 4, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name. He was standing there in full battle gear, in full armor. And he was impressive to look at. But Joshua didn't recognize who he was. And Joshua said to him, are you friend or foe? Who are you? Whose side are you on? He said, I am the Lord of the hosts of the armies of heaven, of the armies of Israel. Jesus Christ showed up in full battle gear. And Joshua thought, all right, we'll follow you, man. It is Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer. You say, but my life has not been, there are some things that I can't forgive myself for. But wait, God has forgiven you for them. If our heart condemn us, we read in the New Testament, he is greater than our hearts. Isn't he? So you start to believe what he said. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. When we all look at our past, it could be an ugly, ugly picture, couldn't it? You don't have to say yes. You don't have to incriminate yourself. But I know. Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. You turn around and it is embarrassing. It is humiliating. It is ugly. And you really just don't want to bring that up. Well, then don't. Don't turn around. Forgetting the things that are behind. I do not count myself to have apprehended. You read in Philippians chapter 3. I do not count myself to have arrived yet. But this one thing I do. It's a one-step program. Forgetting the things that are behind and looking forward to the things that are before, I persecute after the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Don't turn around. Just don't turn around. Your friends will for you. Really? Like you? Yeah, me. Ooh, well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have stood next to you in the lunch line. Well, ho, ho, you're so holy, let's turn back and look at you. No, we shouldn't be doing that to each other either. Look forward, because our Redeemer is the Lord of hosts, that's his name, the Holy One of Israel. He can do anything. He is God. Do you understand that? Have you submitted to his authority? Do you belong to him so that anybody who brings any accusation, you just send them to the master of the house? When the devil knocks on the door and says, you are a cheater and a liar and you're a loser and you deserve to go to hell, you just open the door and say, I'm just a servant here. Yeah, I used to run the place, but you want to talk to Jesus, and you can believe that the devil's going to say, no thanks. Because, see, you're free. Why? He is your kinsman redeemer. He became human to save you from your sin. All of it. past, present, and future. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Now sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. You know, Babylon was one of the Hanging Gardens were one of the seven wonders of the old world. And that was a beautiful place. It was one of the richest kingdoms that there was, Gentile kingdoms. God says, no more, we'll destroy that. Medes and Persians are coming in. They're taking it all. It's nothing. Babylon, you will no longer be called the Lady of the Kingdoms. I was angry with my people, verse 6 says. And I have polluted mine inheritance. And I've given them into your hand, speaking to Babylon still. And you did show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid the yoke. He says this, I judged my people by allowing them to be taken captive by you, you Babylonians. But you had abused your power by showing absolutely no mercy at all. And you don't think for one moment that just because I allowed my people to be taken into captivity, don't think I don't love them. Don't think I didn't notice how you treated them. Everybody hear that? Don't think that just because I'm allowing them to be punished this way, allowing them to be pressured this way, don't think that I don't love them. And I am watching what you're doing to them and how you are treating them. And there is a payday coming. Now his people are still his people. And take a look around at how people are treating them. God made a promise to Abraham. And it was a long time before he had kids. And God said, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. And that promise is still in full effect. Still. So I think we ought to remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for God's people, as the psalmist says. Because we don't want to be found having no mercy upon the children of God. Because what does God say? I was angry with my people. I polluted my inheritance. I gave them into your hand. I allowed you to go in and take my people captive. Now that puts a whole different picture on history, I think. It puts a whole other slant on all history books. Do you really think Alexander was that great of a commanding general? Do you really think that Rommel was that desert fox? Do you really think that Goebbels was so amazing at his propaganda in Nazi Germany? Do you really think that, or are you starting to catch on that there is a God in heaven who rules over the affairs of men? Do you really think that President Clinton is doing all this? Speaking of lame ducks. Do you? I think that there is a God in heaven who rules over the affairs of men. And the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Just like the rivers, he turns it where he wants it to go. This is all according to the plan of the living God. And he's upset with Babylon because he said, I turned them over into your hand, but you were merciless. You showed no mercy. They abused his people. It was ugly. The Nazis, Nazi Germany, and their cohorts, and some of the churches who joined in with them, they abused and mistreated God's people mercilessly. That will be taken care of. God will not forget. He promised he wouldn't. He doesn't forget. He has total recall. And he will not forget. And that's why you and I need to praise God that salvation is by grace through faith. That once you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you are accepted in the Beloved. You. But you must ask Jesus into your heart. You must be born from above. You can read John chapter 3, the Nick at Night chapter, where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and Jesus looks at him and says, you, even probably up in his 90s, later 80s, 90s, you must be born from above, but born again. It's a spiritual thing he's talking about. It's a heart issue, and we all are going to deal with it one time in our lives. You got a choice to make, and you're going to make it. And it will determine the rest of eternity for you. And it is a simple choice, yet only you can make that choice. No one can make it for you. You can play the game as long as you choose, but sooner or later, you're going to get to the jail on the Monopoly board, and you're going to be in there, and you're going to have to make a decision on how to get out. Either you get out of jail free in Jesus Christ, or you pay. And to pay is to suffer for eternity, and each one of us has to make a decision before we leave this earth. Hopefully you've made that decision. If you haven't, you can accept Jesus Christ by just saying, I want you in my heart. If you've made the decision and you are playing a game with it, well, we learn from Jesus and we learn from Peter and we learn from the writer of Hebrews, you are in a very tough situation because there is no security there and there is all bets are off. There are no guarantees. Nobody knows what's going on in that heart now because nobody can judge the heart. You're in a dangerous situation and you need to get out of that situation. You need to make a decision. Because I was angry with my people and I polluted mine inheritance and given them into your hand and you did show them no mercy. Upon even the older, you very heavily laid the yoke. And he says, and you said, I shall be a lady forever. Speaking of Babylon, right? So that you did not lay these things to your heart, neither did you remember the latter end of it. Babylon thought she could never be defeated. And he says this. You said, I'm going to be a lady forever. I'm the queen forever. I'm the one. He says, so that you did not lay these things to your heart. 100 years in advance, God warned Babylon what he would do, and Babylon themselves had the word of God. How do you know, Bob? Because they had Daniel. They went and captured Israel, and they got the word of God, and they had it read to them. Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, probably became a Christian, it looks like, according to his own words there in the book of Daniel. Because of Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and the Word of God. But he said, you didn't take it to heart. How many times have you been to church and the pastor's talking and you're thinking, I've heard it before. Huh? Yeah, he might throw in a different joke, but it's the same old stuff. You know something? You're not taking it to heart. You're just hearing it. And it's going one ear and it's going out the other. It's not bouncing around and sticking anywhere in there. You're not taking it to heart. And of course, you've heard it before, but it is true. Many people will miss heaven by about a foot and a half, which is the distance from your head to where your heart is. A little over a foot, foot and a half. You're going to miss heaven by almost 18 inches because it's not a head issue. Where's your heart at? He says to these people, you didn't take it to heart. You were warned and you didn't take it to heart. This has to become a heart issue. It ought to change our lives. Okay, well, we're slow. We are sinners. We're not very smart. We don't do things right. We have a hard time getting along. We open our mouth when we should shut it. We shut it when we ought to open it. We say things we didn't mean, and we don't know how to take them back, and people won't forgive us, and we got this whole mess going on, and because everything's so jumbled up, we think, oh, man, he couldn't love me. That's not true. He loves you. He loves you, and the things that you have said, he has forgiven you for them. Now what you want to do is from this point on say, Lord, control my tongue. Control my attitude. You run my heart. You run my thinking. Run my brain. Start it up. Let's see what happens. He said, you said, I shall be a lady forever. So you did not lay these things to heart, neither did you remember the latter end. You forgot how it was going to turn out. You were warned and you forgot how it was going to turn out. There's suffering coming. You want joy, you want peace, you want the things God promised. You start walking with Him today, forgiving everyone, holding no grudge against anyone. Let the bitterness go. Let the your past and the sins that you have committed as they're confessed, Lord, let them go. Don't bring them back up. Don't focus on them. You keep your eyes on the prize and you just start walking. And there will be some peace, finally. There will be a joy that nobody will get to. Now, everybody around you may not understand it. Don't try to drag them into that. Bible says that nobody understands, no person intermeddles with your joy, just as no person intermeddles with your sorrow. And all that means is, no matter how they've gone through the same things you've gone through, when you're hurt, they don't feel it like you do. Nobody intermeddles with that sorrow. When you lose a loved one, nobody feels it like you. Although many have lost loved ones and they have felt what they felt, nobody feels it like you. And when you're happy, you're thrilled, your boss comes and says you're doing a good job, man, you are thrilled, and you walk off and you tell someone and they go, oh, great, cool, where do you want to go to lunch? I mean, you see, they don't feel it like you do. So don't try to get them to. Oh, man, I read this verse and this verse is great. What does it say? Jesus wept, dude. You go, Yeah, great, cool, you're weird. No, you gotta... You see, you're trying to drag them into something that they weren't a part of. It was between you and the Holy Spirit. So just be thrilled. Take it to heart. And by the way, consider the end of it. Consider that we really might not live forever in these bodies. Just consider that. And what is the end of all that? Where do we go from here? Therefore, hear now this, or listen to this, hear this. Verse 8. You that are given to pleasures, that dwell carelessly, that say in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things, sitting as a widow and knowing the loss of children, shall come to you in a moment, in one day. Lives will be lost. Babylon will be destroyed. They're going to walk into that big city of Babylon and destroy it without a shot fired. And the king will be put to death and all kinds of people will be beaten and tortured. And the women will be raped and the children will be put to death. And they throw them against the rocks and beat them to death against the rocks. And they run them through with swords and they cut them in half and they laugh and they party and they throw them in fires. And this city is going to be totally destroyed. In one day. It says, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. You see, they're really into the sorcery, into the wizards, into the horoscopes. They're into the masters. For you have trusted in thy wickedness. Verse 10. Thou hast said, nobody sees me. I'm getting away with it. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And you have said in your heart, I am and none else beside me. I am and none else beside me. Whether it is a nation or an individual. Remember, pride will destroy. Whether it is a nation or an individual, pride is going to destroy it. When that nation starts to get rich by stealing from others, when you see a nation making billions off of an entertainment industry that is an abomination to the Lord, the pornography, or the movies that are being made that are absolutely abominable in the sight of God, yet billions are being made. People are becoming millionaires who work in that industry. When you see nations getting rich off of that kind of sickness, there's a pride there, and you know what's coming. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. When a nation or an individual, or whether it's a nation or an individual, pride is dangerous. Being lifted up and thinking, I am able to make it on my own. You see what Babylon is saying? Babylon says this, you've said in your heart, I am and none else beside me. I have done it. I did it. I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. We conquered the world. We're going to hold on to the world. We're going to take the world. You saw Hitler saying it. We will do it. There will always be an England, but they will be driving Volkswagens. Of course, we're going to do it. What kind of pride that leads to that kind of destruction is in the heart of the nation, in the heart of individuals. And Babylon was saying it, man, we've done it. We're the ones. We're the only ones. We're the power. People bow to us. Well, God says, you're going to be shocked. Therefore, verse 11, shall evil come upon you? Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. You're not even going to realize where it's coming from. And mischief shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to put it off. Desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. It's going to come from all sides. It's going to happen fast. There's going to be no warning since they didn't heed the warning. Stand now with your enchantments. Stand up with your enchantments, with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, you may prevail. Stand up. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from these things that shall come upon you. God challenges the Babylonian nation. And he says this, you turn, go ahead, turn now to your witches. Turn now to your soothsayers. Turn now to the ones who read palms, to the horoscope readers. Go ahead and turn to them. Turn to the stars and try to figure out how to get yourself out of this danger. Turn to your horoscopes. Turn to your Ouija boards. Turn to your psychic friends hotline. Turn to the New Age diviners and healers, to your ascended masters, to your spirit guides. Turn to your inner higher selves. Go ahead, turn, I challenge you. And let's see if that will stop the destruction of your nation. And I think you know, God issues the same challenge to the United States of America. Destruction is coming. Go ahead, turn to your psychic friends hotline. Call them. See if they can stop the destruction of this country. See if they can stop. Go ahead and have your fortune told. Have your palm read. And see if it can stop the suffering and the misery and the psychological damage that has gone on in your own self because you have chosen time and time again to go against your own conscience until finally our consciences become seared like a hot iron. They're useless. They don't work. Don't have a good conscience anymore. Go ahead and turn, God says. Turn to the Ouija boards. Get the answer. See if it'll spell out, run away. See what it says. Turn to the witches. Turn to those in the New Age movement who tell you, he says, that you can create your own reality. They will teach you how to create your own reality. So that when you're in hell, you could just go, I'm not here. I'm not here. You're in a big car accident, you go, that is not my arm across the street. That's not my reality. Go ahead, play the game and see what it's like. See if it stops, he says. See if it stops the suffering. See if it stops the punishment. See if it stops the destruction on a nation who has chosen to rebel against God. I think you know the answer. The answer is no, it's not going to stop a thing. Behold, verse 14, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. Who's them? Your astrologers, your stargazers, your horoscope readers, your Ouija board experts, your psychic friends. Your New Age diviners and healers, your ascended masters, your spirit guides, and your higher selves. And anybody else you might turn to. Your MTV people who tell you how to live. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm it, nor fire to sit before. You know, someone who reads horoscopes and sells that kind of garbage for a living, they're not, when the trouble comes, they're not going to be interested in helping you. They're not even going to be able to help themselves. And that's who, you think it sounds funny, but that's who the Babylonians trusted in. And you may think it sounds funny, but that's who the American people trust in. We have major Wall Street investors, major companies. Hey, this is the year 2000. You can edit that out. And we have major Wall Street companies and CEOs who do not make investment decisions without checking with their horoscope people daily. They're not checking to see what the money's doing. They're checking to see, is this a good day to sell? Did a black cat walk across my path? You know, and I'm thinking, Lord, you got to have to strike this place with fire from heaven. Billy Graham said it, an interesting statement, and I understand where he's coming from when he says, if God does not destroy America, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And you think, man, I'm telling you, look where we are. You read this, and it's like Isaiah could have lived in one of our major cities today. Thus shall they be unto you, verse 15, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander, every one to his quarter, none shall save you. Everybody note, as the chapter closes, the destruction of Babylon, the decline and the destruction. None shall save you. All this, and this is to all who do not put their trust in the living God. You can quote this to anyone who does not put their trust in the living God. None shall save you. There is only one place for salvation. Jesus said to the disciple there in the upper room, in John 14:6, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There is salvation in no other name. And we should be looking to Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews tells us we're looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's who we're looking to. That's who you should be looking to. You got troubles right here in River City? Then look to him. You have a physical need? Some say they have cancer. And without a touch from God, it's going to destroy them. Who are you looking to? Are you looking to the ascended masters and to the crystals? Are you going to these healers that are using the crystals to try and destroy this cancer? Or holistic dentistry? What is it? That always worries me. What does a dentist do with your spirit anyway? But whatever. Pray about these things. Where is your heart at? What are you all about? What's it gonna be like when you look back over your life? Is it gonna be have been thrown away? Or is there going to be a day and a time when you actually said, man, from this moment on, I want to follow Jesus Christ. I just want to serve him. It doesn't matter what it costs. It doesn't matter where it takes me. It doesn't matter how pretty or ugly it is. He bought me with a price. I belong to him. I just want to walk. And he promised that he would show me the path. I just want to stay on that path. Doesn't matter. Anything else doesn't matter. You got to be there. Other than that, you're going to start looking to other people and other false gods and other things. And God is telling you, none shall save you. Who is the Redeemer? I'll read it to you again. The Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. He's our kinsman Goel. He is the Redeemer. There is no Redeemer on the earth but Jesus Christ. He died for you. He's alive now. And he says, all of you come. Anyone who comes to me, the Father brings him to me, I will in no way cast out. You say, I want to come to Jesus. And his arms are wide. And he said, you come. Yeah, but I haven't been very good. And I'm not very smart. And I don't know anything. And my life's a mess. And I got an attitude problem. And Jesus says, you come. Just as you are. What we'd like to do tonight is, we've done it a few times. We'd like for you to break up into, not break up. Breaking up is hard to do. Break off into some groups, just some small groups with the people that are around you. If you don't know them, that's fine. You can still pray with them and pray together. Pray for the needs. You don't have to tell your life story because we don't have that kind of time. But sometimes you could say, I do have a disease and the doctors are telling me that I need some help. Cry out to God. You can say, I do need work. Or you can say, everything's going fine in my life. Pray for me. I'm worried. And you could, whatever your prayer request. Or maybe if you don't have any prayer requests and everything's going great, you can't think of anything, then pray that the Word of God would go forth in this community, that others could be snatched from hell, that they could be saved and have eternal life like He's given to you freely. But go ahead and break up in the groups, and we'll just let you pray for just a few minutes before we praise and worship. Okay, go ahead.